Te cuento que el otro día conocí el mar Mediterráneo y fue un poco como conocer un actor olvidado. Caminé por el malecón oyendo sus olas que sonaban como la tos de un Joe Pesci asmático. Aunque más que un actor olvidado, el mar recordaba las momias que exhiben en el Museo del Cairo. Nada que ver contigo, mar Caribe, que esta tarde tienes tanto vigor que parece que vienes del gimnasio.
Our episode sounds different today. The reason is that we have created a special episode about the Days of Poetry and Wine in Ptuj, which should stand out from the other episodes, not only in terms of content, but also acoustically. And since the Days of Poetry and Wine is an international festival that takes place once a year in Slovenia, the episode itself is also held in English. What you just heard was Impro and Wine, part of the varied program of Days of Poetry and Wine. Two poets from the festival and two improvisation musicians met in one of the many courtyards of Ptuj. In the recording you have just heard Frank Baez, a poet from the Dominican Republic. Later, you will also hear a short recording of Yolanda Castaño. She also read as part of Impro and Wine, and we will also have a conversation with her later in the episode, as Yolanda, together with Christina Kochan, was the artistic director of the international guests. On the first day of our visit to Ptuj, however, Gerhard and I have already been able to attend numerous other events. On the same day, we already experienced a poetry walk accompanied by the Slovenian poet Denis Kofič along the river Drava, followed by a wine tasting on the boat that brought us back to Ptuj. We listened to a conversation between the Czech poet Maria Ilyashenko and Yolanda Castaño and went to a reading by the British poet David Harsand in one of the small and charming hotels in Ptuj. The large stage in the center of the historic old town of Ptuj always became the lyrical center of the festival in the evenings. On the days of our visit, great poets such as the Swiss author Ilmar Rakusa, the Albanian poet Luljeta Lišanaku, the Czech poet Eugenius Ališanka, the Slovenian author Miriam Dreu, the Lebanese poet Jumana Haddad, and many other renowned authors read here. In a first conversation, digitally and before the Days of Poetry and Wine itself took place, we were allowed to talk to the curator in charge, Christina Kochan, and the executive producer, Taja Islamovic, about what exactly the Days of Poetry and Wine actually are, how the selection of the locations is arranged, how the selection of the poets work, and of course, how the poetry and wine pairing actually works. By the way, the festival in Ptuj is part of the platform Versopolis. All information about the Days of Poetry and Wine and Versopolis can be found in our show notes, as always. So, before you hear the conversation with Christina and Taja, here is one of Ilmar Rakusa's most famous poems, read by her personally.
Gedicht gegen die Angst. Streiche das Blatt, küsse den Hund, tröste das Holz, hüte den Mund, zähme den Kamm, reime die Lust, schmücke den Schlaf, plätte den Frust, neige das Glas, wiege das Buch, liebe die Luft, rette das Tuch, schaue das Meer, rieche das Gras, kränke kein Kind, iss kein Fraß. Lerne im Traum, schreibe, was ist, mehre den Tag, forme die Frist, lenke die Hand, eile und steh, zögere nicht, weile wie Schnee. Öffne die Tür, lade wen ein, schenke dich hin, mache dich fein, prüfe dein Herz, geh übers Feld, ruhe dich aus, rühr an die Welt.
Between the 21st and 26th of August, the Days of Poetry and Wine Festival will take place for the 27th time. Today, we talk to Christina Kochan, the festival's program director, and Taya Islamovic. Am I saying it right?
Yes, you are.
And the festival's executive producer. Nice to have you both as guests.
Thanks for having us.
Christina, can you give us an approximate time frame and tell our listeners about the origins of the festival and why it exists in this form today?
So the festival began already in the 90s. It was basically almost like a platform to invite young European authors, poets. But later it grew into a bigger version and then started to invite poets from all around the world. Not necessarily just the young poetic voices, but just poets, all generations included, all nationalities, etc. And it started first in another part of Slovenia, in the western part of Slovenia, that is also renowned for its wine, basically. So that made sense because the combination has always been poetry and wine. And but then, because this is a region where there are mostly just small villages, it is very charming, but it was also a problem with the audience, for example. It was somehow remote. And then Ale Steger, who is the father of the festival and is originally from the vicinity of Ptuj, he was then thinking of moving it to another attracting location, but also to a location where there is a wine region, where wine is, again, very important. And this is the case in Ptuj. And I think that this was a very smart decision. They moved the festival here to Ptuj in 2010, I think, when there was a 14th edition of the festival. And it has been a very successful story. The town of Ptuj, all the people that live here, I think that they have embraced it. And because, as you might know, people really open also their homes, they host events, and the whole town is really, I don't know, breathing poetry during that 1 week of the festival, and the atmosphere is also wonderful because of that.
Yeah, well, I've seen that there are not only a great variety of artists, poets and musicians and so on who attend, but it's also the variety of places where the festival takes place. Just browsing through your gallery, it was really nice to see. And I've seen such things in the program such as the, I quote, wicked tasting, women and wine, in the tunnel under the Ptuj castle. That sounds amazing to me. How do you pick those places, and what is your favorite?
We pick the places, yes. We try to put poetry or wine presentations, basically both, always at different locations, at, I don't know, at some intriguing locations that are not really too usual. And this year we decided to move the Wicked Tasting into the tunnel, where it is also very cold, just 8 degrees Celsius, you know, so that we offer our guests, the visitors, also a different experience where they might feel this chill, you know, of the surroundings, and where it is also very dark, so all the other senses are maybe, I don't know, limited to some extent, but therefore the tasting can be, I don't know, enhanced, or, you know, so we try to play with all these different possibilities, so that we are keeping the festival fresh.
Taya, how could we imagine the festival? How many venues will be there? I've heard that it's not only placed in Ptuj, but also in other regions of Slovenia. Can you give us a feeling about the venues and the festival? And
So overall, we actually have more than 60 events on 17 different locations, 17 different cities. And then again, multiple locations, for example, in Ptuj, like Christina mentioned, on courtyards, the main venue, the tunnel under Ptuj Castle, and so on. So it's a very diverse festival, so many locations. And I also wanted to point it out at the previous question that the courtyards, that's the best part of the festival for me, because locals actually host events and you can't experience that on other festivals or on a regular day, because having an event on a courtyard is, I think, special for audience as well. But yeah, overall, the main venue will host great poetry readings and also concerts of great Slovenian and Austrian musicians. And then wicked tasting events such as Poet to Poet, Poets to Impro and Wine. Definitely something to experience and to visit Ptuj.
There are not only different venues, but also different formats, like readings, performances, film screenings, music and culinary presentations. Could you talk a little bit about that as well?
The festival aims to be as interdisciplinary as possible, right? Mm-hmm. Because poetry is also, I think, such a genre that is easily combined with all sorts of artistic expressions. So therefore, we try to combine, let's say, poetry also with film very often, or art installations, let's say, or even music and all possible forms. For example, this year we are going to have a projection of poetry films, right, and we are going to present the production by the Berlin Festival Zebra, and also by a Slovenian producer who is specializing in video poetry or poetry film. So we are just always looking for some possibilities that we are also then attracting maybe a broader audience, right? Because maybe people who are not so interested in poetry are still attracted to visit the festival, to attend our events, because they are then attracted to some other forms, right? And then we maybe lure them also into poetry, which is always somehow our goal.
Mm-hmm. So is the wine part in the Poetry and Wine Festival just the cheese in the mousetrap? Or is it really equally about poetry and wine?
Yes, well, we try to present both very equally, right? Because those wicked tastings that you mentioned, we are actually doing those also throughout the year, right? In a cellar in Ptuj. And we always invite a poet, sometimes also a writer, who is writing prose, let's say novels, but mostly poets, and also a winemaker or a wine producer. And whenever we have those conversations, we, in a very fascinating way, always learn that there are some parallels even in the creative process of the poet and of the winemaker, let's say. So and I think that what joins them both at our festival is maybe their high quality, let's say, because we are attracting poets that are the best, and also winemakers from Slovenia that are really top.
One thing to mention, not just Slovenian winers, but also this year, because we have a country in focus, language in focus, which is Czech, we also have Czech wine. So one winer that actually lives here in Slovenia, but is originally from Czech Republic, will be our guest on Wicked Tasting.
When it comes to creating the literary program, how do you choose the artists and who chooses the venues? I know there are a lot of people, there's a big team involved to all this programming, but can you maybe tell us something about that?
For example, as far as the literary program goes, this is basically my job, right? But as far as the venues are concerned, we are a very good team, yes? So maybe Taya can add something also, because Taya is also a local. Taya is really originally from Ptuj and knows it inside out.
And Kristina also right now, she actually moved to Ptuj, so now it's an even better combination, yeah. As far as the poets, I think it's great that we mentioned that we have a curator every year, Yolanda Castagno this year, and I think that's a great way to keep the diversity and invite new names, because she has her point of view, but Kristina and Yolanda are working together, because Kristina is helping with the Slovenian poets, because she knows them better and can suggest the names. As far as the locations, yeah, it usually goes through who you know. So I asked my friends that are living in Ptuj, then I know for a few locations that are really nice, and we always try to combine the content of the event with the location. So it's not just to put it somewhere, just to be there, but to actually connect in the whole thing. But yeah, we actually hosted in what, church?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Last year we had a thematic event, for example, just to give you an idea, a thematic event with the two guests of honor, and the talk was about the religious and the sublime, right? And it was only natural to put it in an environment that has something to do with the religious practice or whatever. So we put it in a monastery, for example. They were very open to the idea, and it was a lovely event, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've seen the pictures. It looked really nice.
Thank you.
And what about the audience? So the wines are from Slovenia and from the Czech Republic. The poets are from all over the world. What about the audience? Is it mainly locals who attend? Or are there more people like us?
Actually, from all around the world, and not just, we don't have like a specific audience that I would say, I don't know, from this to this year, but also a young audience, because we have a program for kids and for youth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then elderly, then professional public, also media, also... Yeah, like very diverse, I would say.
Yes, I agree. Yes, it's always very fascinating to see that the audience comes from also from abroad, right? That we have many, many international visitors. And now even more, I would say, because our festival is basically the main one in this Versopolis platform, right? The European platform for poetry, and it combines or joins more than 30 festivals, right? Poetry festivals in Europe. And now, even because of that platform, people come from all these different festivals, right? To see and to experience the what is going on here.
Also, tourists are in Ptuj maybe accidentally, and they are planning their visit in Slovenia, in Ptuj, and they accidentally come to our festival, because good thing about the festival is that it's actually in both in Slovenian and in English, and also in the native language of our guests, because at the Great Poetry Reading, they always read in their own language, and we have the subtitles as well. So people from all around the world can understand.
Well, and in a way, the language of poetry is very international, because even though it focuses on language that much, it's so much about rhythm and about sounds.
Yes, it's universal, right?
You already mentioned the Guest of Honor. There has a format since, I think, 2017. That's called The Letter to Europe, which, of course, also opens up the political dimension in which art, I guess, finds itself. How did this format come about, and what is it, The Letter to Europe?
Yes, the letter to Europe actually started as this initiative, right? As an initiative for, I don't know, even for maybe wake-up calls, if I can put it like that, right? That a poet who has a stronger voice, if I put it metaphorically, maybe makes a difference by expressing his or her opinion, because this letter then goes, is distributed in the European Parliament. It comes into the hands of every European politician who sits in the European Parliament and decides on all the important matters. But it also gets published all over Europe. We translated then into, I don't know, several languages. I don't know even how many.
15, to be exact, yeah.
Wow. 15, yes. And then usually the media, the newspapers are very interested in publishing it, because what we get with this kind of a statement or a letter is a new perspective on things. And of course, the letters are very different from another one, from another, right? Because the poets are also very different. So we never know what we are going to get when we choose the author. But yes, they all make an effort to express something that is very crucial, that is very current in the world. In the world, yes, not just in Europe, maybe.
Where's the source of inspiration for your festival? Is it like you go to other festivals all the year around and take your inspirations from there, or is it you get inspired when you are in TUI and are already planning the next year? Where does that come from?
Well, yes, it's always difficult to talk about inspiration, right? Mm-hmm. This word is very problematic, also for me as a poet, because I think you just have to work, right? Mm-hmm. And well, it's the same with the festival. We start working on the program almost immediately, right? When after finishing the last one. So mm-hmm. in September, we take some time for evaluation and we really go very thoroughly through all events that took place. But then, yes, we immediately have to start choosing the curator and then, you know, work with this curator to select all the guests and send invites out. And it's really a lot of work. But what I started doing is also this. This is maybe interesting, that I started creating events for particular poets. For example, when I learn about their poetry, about their poetics, about their way of writing poetry, then I can come up with a concept, what they can, I don't know, talk about, what they can do. So this year I thought of an event, for example, with a poet who is with a Slovenian poet, Denis Škofič, who is very much into ecology, also into this perspective, and he will present, for example, his poetry on the walk by the river Drava, by the Drau. and this is going to be definitely something very fabulous.
I'm glad she mentioned that, because I was about to say that earlier, and I'm actually always amazed how fast she comes up with the concept of a new format, because during the planning of the festival, I mean, some of the events got cancelled and we have to come up with a new thing, and she actually comes with the idea so fast that we can continue planning and it's all fine.
Also, the program is changing every year. Do you have an idea where it's heading to? Is there a plan?
No. This is a huge surprise.
All right. Well, the historical connection between poetry and wine is old, so I think you'll be able to come up with a new idea every year.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yes.
It's been working so far, and it's been working great as far as we can see, and I'm looking forward very much to visiting and to seeing everything we talked about in practice.
And we invite all our listeners to come to Ptuj and feel the magic of Ptuj, how Robert Renk has stated it.
Oh yes. Thank you very much. Thank you for having us again.
Ofrécese. Recito de memoria o meu sereno amor por 300 euros. Teño tamén miraxes, consignas e alegoría. Podo conxugar os verbos que unxen a experiencia, dicir en alto as avalanchas con charm e compostura. Vendo lava lingüística por un prezo razoable. Pistas, purgas, acicate o tintín dunha boa frase gurgullando entre as costelas. Non me dé apura nada, señor, non disimule. Branco sobre negro, ben máis do que o contrario. Deglute dúas, señora, ata tres veces o día a mesma boca que impugna a trama da indixencia.
Today we're glad to be here with Yolanda Castaño, who we heard yesterday reading her wonderful poems and improvising to saxophone and guitar. And it was a truly amazing experience. Thank you for that. Hi, Yolanda.
Hello, how are you? It's a pleasure to be here chatting with you both. And for me, it was really pleasant to perform yesterday and to be in general in this festival, in Ptuj, Days of Poetry and Wine. I have heard about this festival for so many years, and now I can check that it's really cool.
And you're even the curator of the this year's festival, so you are the one who decided who to come, and you picked some of the artists that are here in Ptuj. How did you do that? How did you manage?
Can you imagine my surprise when I was called not only to be part of the festival, but in this very special role? The board of the festival called me to bring me the treasure of this responsibility, because also it's also a responsibility, to choose to select the international guests of this festival. I thought it was a wonderful opportunity, of course, to show some of the best poetics that have passed by my hand somehow, because I'm developing different projects up there at home in Galicia. I'm the director of the only ongoing poetry reading series in all Spain featuring international poets every month for the last 14 years. That's quite a lot. So in this last 14 years, every month we have hosted an international poet, and I picked some of the best that passed by to present them in Ptuj. In my case, regarding my kind of taste or criteria, I tend to go more for non-hegemonical countries or languages. I wanted to have a very rich diversity in different aspects: sex, gender, generation, origin, literary style, of course, very good text, or in some other occasions, great performers, a little bit of everything, you know. But yes, this kind of origins like Lebanon, Albania, Dominican Republic, not so represented in this kind of festivals in Central Europe somehow. So that was my choice. I had so many poets, I know so many poets that I could really choose.
And you picked some really great ones. It was really nice.
Thank you. I'm happy that you like them.
What's special about one thing that's special about your poems is that you write in Galician, a language that you yourself said is marginalized, or how did you call it?
Minoritized.
Yeah, yeah. Could you expand a little on that?
Of course, because in the Spanish state we have four official languages. We have a couple of more languages, but official languages we have four right now. Those are Spanish, Catalan, Basque, and Galician. But of course the state language is Spanish, which is a huge language, the third language in the world, and it's a much more powerful language. The rest of the languages are in a different position, social position, especially in the Galician case, we don't have those policies and budgets that can boost our situation. Mm-hmm. That's why the social prestige of the language, even in Galicia, is of course lower than Spanish. Mm-hmm. That is seen as the language of power, the language of money, the language of progress. And effectively speaking, Galician is more connected with people from the countryside, rural mm-hmm. areas, poor people. That's a problem. It's a sociolinguistical problem. Mm. It's not seen as a powerful mm. and very useful language, even if it can connect us with the huge Portuguese-speaking world, because Galician and Portuguese was the same language in the beginning, in the Middle Ages. Okay. Then we separated for political reasons. We were under the kingdom. We went under the Kingdom of Spain, mm. and we got all this influence of a Spanish language. Mm-hmm. That's why our pronunciation is so Spanish, but the roots and the grammar mm. is the same with Portuguese, so we can communicate perfectly with Brazil, Angola, Mozambique, mm-hmm. Cape mm-hmm. Verde, and mm-hmm. all these people. And so it's a very useful language in the end, but the social impression is mm-hmm. different, and that's a problem. But I think poetry itself is also a minoritized language. It's mm-hmm. not even the language of power or the market or the money. So somehow it was a political decision for me. It's like a stand, and I find it very coherent being mm-hmm. a woman from the periphery and writing in a minority language or a stateless language, mm-hmm. and writing poetry, which is a political attitude mm-hmm. to nowadays as well.
Mm-hmm. You kind of mentioned it now, because I feel that your decision to speak in a or to write in a minoritized language also reflects in the topics you choose.
I think so, because I also think, in coherency with mm. this that has been said, that poetry must be must put in a put something to the test, and can must be critic, mm-hmm. and must confront. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't go for the hegemonical speeches or the strong thoughts, strong mm-hmm. ideas, but be critic, be always hesitant mm-hmm. and question everything. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the role I think poetry should have. Mm-hmm. Go around the surroundings of the topics, not to the main values, big values, but also put them in a conflict, put it in a critic, mm-hmm. make critic of mm-hmm. being critical mm-hmm. about them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It makes sense, because you mentioned your ongoing or your latest book that mm-hmm. you're working on, or that you have been working on, mm-hmm. Is about money.
Yes.
And as you said, money, the language for money would be Spanish, because mm-hmm. it's the language of power.
So
you took this topic of power mm-hmm. and you somehow play with it mm-hmm. in your poems that we this morning tried to decipher with machine help, because there was no English translation available mm-hmm. to us. Mm-hmm. But how was that? How was it to deal with such a big and pompous topic such as money, with the like soft and fine tools of poetry? Mm-hmm.
Well, you're totally right. That is solemn, big topic somehow. But it happens that in poetry, it's not it's not that much because it's not very popular in poetry scene to speak about money. Even I will say it wouldn't have a prestige to speak about money. It's like it would be something very hidden, and because all the stereotypes of poetry connected more with spirituality and this kind of stuff. So I think there are many stereotypes regarding poetry and economy or money. But I really think economical problems affect us emotionally speaking more than we can demonstrate, we can assume, we can confirm. And I really wanted to deal with this topic, but not to do it in a realistic style, but going deeper into it, using a more imagery, metaphors, and make proper poetry. And I think poetry can deal with any kind of topic, any kind of theme, any kind of, if you do it correctly, or if you do it in a delicate way, and if you go deeper, and if you speak with honesty as well. So why not trying it with why not trying it? It was a challenge for me as well, but I really wanted to speak about this and refresh the topic.
How did your audience take this decision?
Can you imagine that I'm presenting these poems for the first time here in
really?
Slovenia? Yes, even before in Galicia. Yeah. Can you imagine? I wrote this whole book about this common thread of money, meaning about debt, about gender and debt, debt and gender, you know, women always in debt, about the economical system and its oppression, about capitalism, about precariousness, about all that. And I won a prize, I won an award, a poetry award in Galicia. I was given this award, but the book is not yet published in Galicia. So I'm and since I had a book in Slovene that was out very recently, last November, with poems, selected poems from my last books, so I had no fresh poems, new poems translated into Slovene. The only poems that I had was from this book that is still still unpublished. That's why I'm presenting them for the first time, and I cannot guess. Maybe for some people it's shocking. It's like, what's happening with this girl? Is she in love with money, or what's the thing? But I noticed that some people was like interested and found it quite brave to be able to deal with such a delicate and topic, and they reacted well.
Yeah, and you handled it so delicate, I think. So it's so
in diverse ways as well. Because sometimes I was thinking, we were mentioning Brecht when we were discussing it. For example, when you say when you describe your job as the exchange of shivers for coin, this is very, very much within the realm of
Brecht.
Of real money talk, of financial talk. While in other cases, as you mentioned, debt, like you owe someone, but not money, but more immaterial things. And
well, just let me think about what women owe men, or what women owe society, because you talked about that yesterday as well, and maybe you can elaborate a bit about that as well, because I think womanhood and feminism and being a mother and being a woman in society are other very grand topics of your poetry.
Yes.
And how you yesterday said how important it is to make society know that we have to be able to deal with rejecting motherhood, because it's a debt we owe to society, but it is not. Can you maybe elaborate a little bit on this topic of your poetry?
The perspective point of view has been present in my poetry from the very beginning. In fact, from the 90s. So sometimes I'm quite shocked, because I can feel that feminism is like I won't say on fashion because it will be frivolous, but it's mm-hmm. a strong topic.
It's a topic,
it's mm-hmm. a topic nowadays in Europe, but for me it's quite shocking because in Galicia we have been writing this kind of poems from almost 30 years. Mm-hmm. In fact, the literary critic is analyzing that Galician poetry did it like 20 years before than the rest of Spain. Mm-hmm. Because in Spain, this topic appeared more recently, let's say 10 years ago, something like that. But in our case, it was in the 90s. Mm-hmm. So, and it's always a new perspective. And concerning now money and debt, I'm very interested in this topic. That as you very intelligently say, where somehow women are kind of always owing something mm-hmm. to the society, but always to someone mm-hmm. or her father or her partner or. Or whatever, mm. or her virtual son, children, or whatever, is always like permanently in debt somehow. Mm. Or this feeling that is cultural, of course, mm-hmm. is not real. But still, we have so many loads and mm-hmm. expectations, because expectations are really heavy and mm. loaded. So we should fight for being more free. Mm-hmm. And for example, the decision of renouncing, saying no to motherhood, I wanted to make it visible in my mm-hmm. poetry book, in my previous poetry book, because as I say, I don't think all of us are free if some of the options are prestigious and some others are not that much. Mm-hmm. So all of them must be welcome. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. In one of the poems I like the most of yours, you talk of the female body as a motor caducifolio. Is that the word?
Caducifolio, yes.
Caducifolio.
A motor that loses its leaves or whatever.
Yes, mm-hmm. and there is no German word for that. Oh, we had to research to find really? Out what the what it means, and when we found out, it made total sense. But mm-hmm. until then, we were just struggling for the meaning. Mm.
Wow.
And you translated some of your poems to Spanish.
Yes, I translate all of my poems always into Spanish at some point.
Yeah.
First, I speak I write originally only in Galician, and after that, at some point I self-translate all of my work into Spanish. So my books appear in Galicia, distributed in Galicia, in Galician language only, and then they find a second edition in bilingual for the rest of Spain and Latin America, with my own translations into Spanish, because mm-hmm. I have a good comment on Spanish.
Mm-hmm. And the language is being related, it must be easier than translating to German, but still, are you sometimes struggling with your own texts to get them into Spanish?
Yes, because sometimes I play also with sound, uh-huh. and the sound change mm-hmm. in the translation, so uh-huh. something is lost.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, translation is always tricky, but in the end it's a creative exercise. Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And that's always stimulating for me mm-hmm. and for anybody mm-hmm. that makes translation. So I don't think translation is a limitation or this mm-hmm. kind of stuff, but I really trust in translation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was just about to ask, does it happen the other way around, so that you end up with the Spanish version being somehow your favorite as opposed to the...
Not in the whole view, but sometimes in details you find like, oh, this is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Some discovering or something that just pops out mm-hmm. that surprises you in a positive way.
Yeah, and maybe another poem stems from... that idea that comes up.
Sometimes it's a recreation, no? A new creation.
One of my favorite poems of you was Poetry is a Minorized Language, And it was maybe yesterday I somehow very much felt this poem, because when Lulieta Leshanaku read, the television fell out and we couldn't see the subtitles.
Yeah.
Translation. And we just had to hear her sound and to see her standing there and intonate everything. And then I was remembered of the lines, "It is not that you understand Arabic, you don't understand poetry." Yeah. You don't have to have the solution. You don't have to have the words, the meanings. You just have to have the sound sometimes. And
yes, because I was I experienced the same listening to Julieta yesterday. It was amazing. But yes, for me, poetry is a piece of Albanian language or a piece of Galician language or German language. But it's also, at the same time, a second thing, a piece of poetry. So maybe you can understand Albanian because you happen to have an Albanian mother. If your mother was Albanian, you are fluent in Albanian, you understood the language. But if you are not into poetry, maybe you didn't understand the poem, the Albanian poem. So it's even more important to be someone, if you want to translate poetry, I think it's more important to be into poetry, to be a reader, to like poetry, to love poetry, because for decodifying the language, to interpret the language, to understand the language, we have tools. We even have Google Translator, but we don't have a Google Translator for poetry.
Yeah, that's right.
You can understand the language, the words. Okay, this word is this. This word is this. This word is this. But what was the meaning of the poem? How can you interpret the poem? How can you decodify it? That is poetry.
That's poetry.
So that is poetry.
Well, do you have anything you wanna tell our audience, like how to access your poetry, how to access poetry, if they're struggling? I don't know.
I think poetry is, as I said, language, but also something else, and it's also music. We were talking about the fact of enjoying the music of the poets in their voices, because yes, poetry is a very polyphasetic code. It communicates through contents, meanings, but also through other kind of clues. It gives you other kind of clues, other kind of codes, other kind of languages. The language of sound, the language of the way the lines are on the page, that's the visual part of the poem, because in when you read prose, the visual part doesn't mean a lot, but in poetry it means. They are very meaningful clues, like the way some poets don't use capital letters, or they break the lines. Many ways of meaning things. And in general, I think we have ordinary language nowadays, everyday language, and where the words are used in a very specific way, a very rational way, because we are thirsty, so we have to create a sentence asking for a glass of water. That's what we need, and very rational, we compose this sentence because we are thirsty. But in poetry, words have a different behavior, and we compose our sentences in a different way, going beyond this rational spirit. Because is it possible to do something else with words? I think so. We can use them in a different way. With painting, we can make a portrait of yours that resembles to you exactly. It's wow, it looks like a picture. But we can do something else with painting. We can make abstract paintings, for example. And what is that? Is hers? Is my mother? It's painting. So we can make non-figurative things with words as well, and that is more or less what is poetry for me. Something that goes beyond the figurative, figurative or rational aim or attitude. So we can work more with impression, intuition, subconscious, and we can reach something else using words this way. And if we create new combinations of words and new sentences and new ways to use words, I think we can think world and think life differently.
Some nice final words, I think. And we thank you so much
for it was my pleasure.
This talk. And we are going to enjoy the last day of the Literature and Wine Festival of TUI and highly recommend it to our audience to come here. At least for the next year.
sure. And find some videos maybe on the net or recordings or whatever, and to go deeper into the names of these poets that were presented this year. And they can find some poems of them in the net, I'm sure. And of course, join us next year.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
So, there's 100 things about the festival we haven't mentioned, like the sheer beauty of the Musikcafé in Ptui and the area surrounding it. Check our Instagram. The insane heat of 35 degrees, as if trying to add emphasis on David Hazen's letter to Europe about what he calls the sixth great extinction caused entirely by human activity. Our numerous mosquito bites. And, most of all, the easy atmosphere that allowed anyone there to have so many wonderful talks, as we did off mic, for example with Celia Rosa Schletterer and Robert Renk, who told us about the festival in the first place, with Dennis Skorfitsch, who told us of his passion for Faulkner and Cormac McCarthy, and about the floods that had happened 2 weeks previous, bursting dams and destroying villages, with Miriam Dreu, who has translated big names such as Margaret Atwood and Ralph Waldo Emerson into Slovenian, and has actually written a book about Vienna, where she lived for some years. It has been translated to English, but not to German yet. And with Eric, Patrick and Patricia from the Swedish literature festival Litfest. So maybe this hasn't been our last adventure on the road after all. Thank you so much for listening.